honor and a privilege being to play with these guys. These guys are awesome. They make me sound good sometimes, don't they? Oh, got a clap for that one. Okay. Vicky, go ahead. I see her waving her hand. She said, when you get through, and I still, go ahead. Isn't that cool? God's got this. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God's got this. Tell somebody God's got this. All right. I'm so glad that we're getting ready to do this church today, because last week, I'm going to tell you something. My little tootsies were sore when we got through. I don't know about you, but my tootsies were sore. And so now, this week's going to be a whole lot different. I thank God that He does like to mix things up. Amen? Amen. He's not the only one that likes to mix things up. I mix things up a lot, but not the same way He does. Hey. Amen. You know what? We're going to pray for her. Guys, y'all come on up here anyway. I forgot that anyway, so that's good. We're going to pray for that baby. And anybody else need an anointing? Anybody need their body anointed, their head, their whatever, they need anointing? Come on up here. A little dab will do you. Okay. Okay. Well, we're making a way for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you know the need. The need is great. I ask you, Lord, she's asking for three people, Lord. And Father, we know, Lord, that three is your number, Lord. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. We know, God, that you're able to work beyond and be whatever we can imagine. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch my sister. Touch these others, Lord. Minister in a way that only you can. And we know, God, that you can heal them, Lord, and make an awesome difference in all their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got everything under control. I ask you right now, Lord, touch my brother. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, let him feel your power, your anointing. And Father, move in all situations. God, you've got him. You've got him under total control. You've got his family in total control. I ask you right now, Lord, his business, everything, Lord, is in total control with you, Father. We trust you right now in the name of Jesus. And thank you for what you're doing. And, Father, that we can see the fruit of it soon in the name of Jesus, we pray. And, Lord, until we see the fruit, Lord, we're going to trust the seed. And, Lord, that it is still working, that you're working behind the scenes, and we're going to see the fruit soon in the name of Jesus, we pray. All right, fellas. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch my brother. Lord, let him feel your power, your anointing, touch his feet, this itching. Father, this whatever this is, Lord, you've got it. And we trust you with it right now. These hives, Lord, you've got it. Heal his body, make him every bit whole in the name of Jesus. And while he's up here, Lord, touch this family that we were with yesterday. Lord, bless them too in the name of Jesus. We know you got it. We trust you totally with it in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, lay it on me.
Oh, God. just praise you, Lord. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the word. And Lord, we thank each and every day of our lives, Lord, that we have. Lord, bless you, my dear. We thank you for your help.
Amen. 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 All right. Now get your Bible out. Turn to Revelation. Let's see if I get this thing working here. There we go. There we go. The curtain's opening. There you go. Get my earpiece in. I think I pulled my earpiece off while I was wearing my mask. There we go. Yeah. If I believed in poltergeists, I think we have one in here today. With everything, with every piece of equipment, there was always something going on. Praise God, but we got it now. Amen. What is that you say, Benny? If nothing got stepped in, and nothing got, how did you say that? There you go. Didn't fall down or step into anything. We're all right. All right. Y'all look, we're going to get some relief today, but guess what? Next week might not be so happy. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Y'all thank God for the good stuff. All right. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. There's a special reason why he said that. The first and the last was dead and alive. Smyrna means bitter. Okay? I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Y'all say 10 days. Something special about that. But thou be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's ask God for a special touch. And I want to touch your, did you put your hand this way, Father? We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that we do not have to walk alone through this world. We have each other, and Lord, we have you. And we know, God, that that's something awesome, Lord. We have you there with us to guide us, to show us, to direct us, and we have our people that stand by us too, Lord. And it's an amazing thing. All this together makes a great circle of comfort in hard times. We thank you for what you do, Lord. Bless everybody, Lord, including this lady that lost her 18-month-old baby yesterday, that family. God, you know what's going on. And all these two funerals this week and everything that's going on in our midst, in the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Now you can be seated. Now, I was debating on whether to do Thanksgiving or not because this week is Thanksgiving. But then I thought about it. You know what? I need to keep on going through Revelation because it's very important because I don't want to miss out on what's going on, but I did want to tell you this. Thanksgiving Day was approaching, and the family had received a Thanksgiving card with a painting of a pilgrim family on their way to church. Grandma showed the card to her small grandchildren, observing the pilgrim children liked to go to church with their mothers and their fathers. Oh, yes, said the youngest grandson. So why is their dad carrying that rifle? Get in that car. We're going to church. Come on. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of I had an uncle that was so mean that he had to hold a gun to his head to keep him cutting his throat every day when he shaved. All right. Again, the Lord comes to his churches and he speaks to them about where they are, where he wants them to be, and he comes to them with a message of comfort. I promise you today, the Holy Spirit, if you'll be open-minded, you've got to listen to this open-mindedly. You just can't hear it. You've got to open your heart. You've got to open your mind. You've got to open your spirit. Because if you're closed-spirited today, you're going to miss the whole spiritual point. If you're closed-minded, you're going to miss all the details and all the lessons that are being taught. Now, I'm not going to go deep into this, church. I'm just going to hit the surfaces, because later on we'll do some other sermons that will go back and talk about some of these other things. But right now, we'll talk about this church. But remember, God's talking to us today where we are, where He wants us to be, and He comes to us with a message of comfort. He don't beat us up. He takes care of us. Amen? So let me talk about Smyrna just a little bit. Smyrna was 35 miles north of Ephesus, okay? It was a prosperous city, one of the most prosperous of its time. It was even called the crown city because the hills were shaped like a crown. It was called the flower of Asia. You know, it was first in Asia in sight and beauty. That's some of the things it was talking about Smyrna. Smyrna was such an awesome, awesome place. And it was a very planned city. Nobody just threw it together. It was thought of and it was done. There was at least 100,000 or more people living there during the time of John. And it was famous for its production of myrrh. Myrrh means bitter, and it's associated with suffering and death. So you got to think about these things. Now, Smyrna is a period of history. It's probably the greatest time of persecution that the church ever, y'all say ever. It is the time of history, church history, that suffered more persecution than any other church history, none. All right? It was from 100 A.D. to about 320 A.D. So Satan unleashed a violent attack on his church on God's church in order to totally destroy it. But God overruled, and Satan learned a very valuable lesson. God is still in control. Today, no matter what you're going through, you might understand, you feel that just like Smyrna. Smyrna means bitter. You feel a bitter attack on you, your family, the church, you know, the nation, the world. We see this bitter attack with COVID and this bitter attack amongst people right now. But remember, God can overrule, and Satan's going to learn a lesson from all of this. Amen. So somebody say, God still overrules. He still overrules Satan. Say that. God still overrules Satan. It's like the time I was working on a chemical problem at Procter & Gamble, and I was working with the fire marshal, and I was working with OSHA, and OSHA come in and said, you got 30 days to get this done. The fire marshal come in and said, how are you going to do it? I said, I got 7 choices. Here's what I want to do. He said, okay, just don't start building until I approve it. And so OSHA called and said, we're coming up a little early. So guess what I did? Build it. After I built it, I called the fire marshal, and he said, I thought I asked you to let me see it before you build it. I said, well, you already approved 7 plans. He said, yeah. I said, well, he said, but I still have to approve it. I said, well, let me just tell you something, bro. Not trying to be disrespectful, but OSHA overrules fire marshal. And he said, you got a point. You did good, sir. Okay. So Satan can do all kinds of things, but guess what? God can overrule. He is God. So prophetically, this terrible persecution acid inflicted was believed to the believers by the Roman emperors between 100 A.D. and 320 A.D. And if you look here, this poor little church was not only undergoing physical suffering from the lashes of Rome, but Rome was shutting their families down. So think about this. In this beautiful, wealthy pagan city, there existed a struggling Christian community. Wow. The church was undergoing this heavy persecution, and it was deadly, but God spoke a word through Jesus to them that everything was going to be all right. Last week we talked about the song, You Lost That Love and Feeling. Guess what our song is today? Here we go. Come on, buddy. You can do it. I know you can. I trust you. There you go. Crushed Smyrna, the persecuted church. Jesus eyes Smyrna as the heat is on. Get it? The heat is on. Don't remember that song. Am I the? Okay. Y'all remember? All right. So the heat is on. And so he brings them some cool. So watch this now. Watch this carefully. Now, Smyrna's a little different than Ephesus. At Ephesus, They had a different type of message. Ephesus needed some getting into gear. Ephesus, they got the good and the bad and the ugly of their situation. And they needed to warm up because they had lost their first love. Well, they were doing great, but they had lost their first love. And God said, I'm not happy with that. You can be doing all the works you want to, but you're not saved by works. You're saved to work. You're saved by the grace of God. Amen? You're saved by the grace of God, not by works, by the grace of God. And we are to love God with all of our heart, all our soul, all of us. Okay? So there's the good and the bad and the ugly. But Smyrna, he shifts a little bit. Here the heat is on. Okay? Some of y'all in here right now, please listen. I want you to remember, this has a current with prophecy. There's the current position of what's going on. There is a prophetic thing later on, prophetic version. But then there is our future version. Then there's the prophetic in our own lives right now. Some of us right now, we're like Smyrna. We're going through attacks. Satan is attacking us. He's attacking our family or attacking our home or attacking our jobs. And it's hard when the heat is on to understand that God is still there and God still loves us and God is still working in our lives. And so we have to understand when the heat is on, when it's really, really, really hard to trust God, that's when you need to trust Him the most because something special is happening. So Jesus helps him cool down, okay? In this message we're going to talk about, there's commendation, there's counsel, and there's challenge, just like the church at Ephesus. The difference is there's no condemnation. None. Oh, Ephesus was getting it hard. But here, they've got nothing like that coming on them. So here we go. The first word, fearless. Y'all say fearless. If you need to see God move in your life, if you need to see God move in the church, if you need to see God move in your family, in your marriage, on your job, then you're going to have to be fearless. Okay? You can't let fear take a hold because fear automatically cancels faith. It cancels it. It wipes it out. Fear, where fear is present, faith cannot exist. So you're going to have one or the other. So we're going to have to be fearless when you're trying to overcome the attacks of the enemy. Okay, so let's just talk about this church a little bit. It was a crushed church, okay? They faced persecution. The Bible said they had tribulation. Now, let me just explain this word tribulation. Tribulation literally means pressure. Anybody felt any pressure lately? Woo! You felt any pressure? You know, I can tell you, I can sit back and think about this week. You know, all the things that were going down this week, and then the two funerals on top of that, and other things that were happening. Pressure, pressure, pressure. You know, and then you think about the people that you're ministering to and think about all the tremendous pressure that they're under. Wow. You know, I just can't, my heart goes out to people when I say, how in the world can somebody handle that kind of pressure except for the grace of God and God's power and anointing on their life? So the Latin is tribulum, okay? Tribulum, all right? Now there's something special about this. Tribulum literally refers to these big stone wheels that were used to crush the kernels from the shell. Great old big thing, just rolling. It just would roll. You know, when Samson was in the house, in the meal house after he had his eyes put out, he was rolling that millstone around. That's what this is talking about. The same process. That's what they felt like was going on to these people. It was terrible. So they faced persecution, and they were being crushed. I'm not talking about garden variety. Well, I got my fingernail, my hangnail. I'm never going to serve God again because my fingernail broke. Really? These guys were losing all they had. Everything was at stake. Then they faced poverty because this talks about them being in absolute, they were absolutely destitute. That their jobs were being taken away because they served God. Their jobs only were taken away. They were denied jobs because of their testimony. And in a city that had everything, the most prosperous city in the world, the Christians were losing everything. Wow. And because of that, they also faced prison. You see, they faced persecution. They faced poverty. They face prison. The Bible even says, tells them, you know, Jesus says there's more trouble ahead. Now here's the 10 days. I told you 10 days means more than 10 days. It's more than a week and 3 days. 10 days actually talks about the one, since 100 A.D. to 312 A.D., there was 10 Roman persecutions of the church. 10. So he says, Smyrna, this is the age. Smyrna's church age is from 100 A.D. to 300 A.D. That's the Smyrna church age. And during that age, Roman emperors 10 times tried to destroy the church. But let me tell you one thing. Satan cannot destroy the church because he did not birth the church. The blood of Jesus Christ birthed the church. The cross birthed the church. It's based on Pentecostal power and God's anointing. Satan can try to come against you, your family, your marriage, your job. But let me tell you something. Satan did not give it, and Satan cannot take it away. Amen? God's in control. Somebody, come on now. God is in control. 10 times the Romans tried to squash the church, and all it ever did was grow, 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 grow. Some of you in here right now, got to understand, you're feeling the pressure. You're feeling crushed under that stone and thinking everything's being taken away, but God is still God, and God is still in control. Amen. So that's what he was trying to tell these guys. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. So they were a crushed church. Now, look, in fact, I don't like that word right there. Not only do you need to be fearless, you need to be faithful. You know, it's easier to be faithful when everything's going good. Oh, yeah. Everything's going my way. I can be faithful. Everything's happening the way I want it to happen. Yeah, God. But that's what had happened to Ephesus. Everything was going their way, and then they just kind of drifted away from God. If you need God to move in your life right now, it's not the time to drift away. It's the time to draw closer. So it was a consistent church. You see, they had a positive testimony. Because the Bible said, of course, Jesus sent seven letters to seven churches, okay? Five of the seven churches received rebuke and correction. Smyrna and Philadelphia were the only two that had no words of correction. Amen? No rebuke. God had these churches, let them know that everything was going to be okay. So it was a positive testimony. There was a powerful testimony. He said, I know your works. I know your works. That word works means taking care of the business at hand. Let me ask you a question. Do you try to take care of God's business? We get things, the cart in front of the horse sometimes. You know, I heard a story yesterday about a man, an old man and his grandson were going to town carrying his burro. They're carrying the burro and they're going to town, and somebody goes by and says, why are y'all walking together when you got a burro? Old man, why don't you get on the burro? So the old man gets on the burro, and they're going down the road, and somebody else passed him and said, isn't that old man conceited? He should be letting his young grandson ride the burro. So the old man gets off and puts the young kid on the burro. They ride down a little further, and somebody says, well, who's that kid think he is? His granddaddy's older than him. That burro can hold both of them, so won't both of them get on? So they both got on the burro. They rode down a little further, and somebody else said, who do you think they are? It's still way too heavy for that burro to take. By the time they got to town, they were carrying the burro. You can't get the cart before the horse. We're asking God to intervene in our lives to help take care of our business, and we let his business fall by the wayside. Wow. God says, take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. And that's been my motto. I'm going to take care of God's business. Then I know God's going to take care of mine. Amen? So now, because of all this, they were fostered. What do I mean by fostered? God was watching them. He's paying attention. We just got all kinds of things buttoned off today. Amen. I'm going to put this down here. Praise God. Anybody else got anything they want to set the alarm off before we get through? Amen. Me included. All right. Fostered. Smyrna was a comforted church. They had the interest of heaven. Jesus says, I know thy works. The Lord of glory have taken personal interest in Smyrna. They had the involvement of heaven. When Jesus comes to church, he says, he comes as the first and the last. Meaning, I was here before the trouble started, and I'll be here after the trouble ends. And I will be with you all the way through, the first and the last. I suffered at first. I will be here with you, and I will be here till it's all over with. You know, that's a very powerful, powerful testimony. And then just about through, I told you, this is not going to be long today because it's just such an awesome, awesome thing. And they had the inheritance of heaven. He promises them a crown of life if they don't stop. Okay. So, let's get a little further here. Let's get it going here. Ready? Here we go. Fly away. Here we go. He promises them the crown of life. The word crown refers to a Stephanos. You know what a Stephanos is? Back in the Greek games, these guys would train all their life to compete. And when they worked so hard to compete, when they got through, they would get up and there would be three levels. There would be the gold. Like we do for ours now. There's the silver, the gold, and the bronze. The gold is in the middle. And then there's the silver and the bronze. Okay, that's called the Bema. That's the Bema. When Jesus talks about us as Christians, we're not going to the white throne of judgment. We're going to go to the Bema judgment. The Bema judgment is the 1, 2, 3. That's where we're going to be judged by our works. And then we're going to receive either a bronze, a silver, or a gold, depending how we did with what we had. But back then, when they got up on this, that's what's called the judgment seat of Christ. When they got up on this Bema, they would take this laurel, Stephanos, which is nothing but leaves, and they would put it on person's head. And depending on what place they came in, depending on what kind of Stephanos they got. That's awesome, except for that Stephanos was live. And so it would eventually die. But it says, when you come up and you fight the good fight of faith, you hang in there no matter how bad it feels, no matter how you look at things, no matter how bad things are hurting you, if you will just hang in there with everything you got, I'm going to give you a Stephanos that's not going to perish away. Okay? To the world, Smyrna looked like a bunch of losers. But in reality, they were winning spiritual warfare. Here it goes. Ready? Come on. Come on. You can do it. There you go. Commendation. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I have no condemnation for what you're doing because you're doing such a good job. This is Jesus talking. He gives us some counsel. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Be faithful, even to the point of death. So the challenge is, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? If you're a Christian, you've been taught what the second death is. If you've been studied any time, if you haven't studied at all, let me just explain to you what the second death is. When my mama died, I watched her die. Bethany died, I watched her die. I saw Bethany take her last breath. But now she's with God in heaven. Some people aren't there. The people that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are in Hades. I'm not going to say, come on now. No, that's the truth. They're in Hades. Hades is the abode of the dead. That's the place where you wait for final judgment. Bethany, she's running in the fields of the Lord. I know she is. I see it. I see it all the time. I feel it. Even something, you'll see how it's her second anniversary of death. Let me tell you how God does things. we were going through some of Bethany's things, and we're trying to move some of the things, go ahead and let her be a blessing to somebody else. And I don't know of anybody in here that wears a woman's size 11, 12. The girl had a Lenten foot. And last night, we took pictures of these shoes that were nice. And I think it was on Beaufort County Yard Sale, and said, good shoes, free to a good home. Within a matter of moments, we got a deed. Didn't say where the shoes belonged to. Didn't say anything. Just good shoes, size 11, women's shoes, size 11. Picture of them to a good home, free. We want to be a blessing to somebody. Let Bethany be a blessing. And in a few minutes, it dinged. I looked over, and Linda started laughing and crying. And I said, what in the world? And a girl called back, a girl faced back in, well, how do you do? I don't even have yard stuff. And she said, that's my size, and I would like to get those shoes. And her name was Bethany. Wow. And so then we looked her up, and she even favored Bethany. I said, wow. God, you're talking about showing us something. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be fine. But to those that die without God, there's Hades. When the Christian dies, they will eventually face the judgment seat of Christ, which is that gold or gold, silver, and bronze. Not life or death, gold, silver, or bronze. But then, after everything's over, at the very end, there's going to be the white throne of judgment. At the white throne of judgment, the Christians are going to be around the white throne of judgment. They're going to see it. They're going to participate, but they're not going to be at the white throne of judgment. Those that were in Hades, they're going to get up and go to the white throne of judgment. And they're going to find out. They're going to be judged there. And after they're judged, the Bible says, then they're cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. If we really believe that, do you think we would be telling more people about you? You know how much I would hate to think that I was at the white throne of judgment, not as somebody that's going to be put on trial, but as somebody that was going to stand around and watch and see it. And all of a sudden, somebody I loved, I knew very well, come walking up, and I saw once he came walking up, he's going to take the second death. And I'd hate to be standing here watching him come up and Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. And he turns around and looks at me and says, why didn't you tell me? You're with me every day. Why didn't you tell me? Wow. Wow. But those in Smyrna, it says the second death is not going to have anything to do with you because you're going to get that victor's crown. You're going to stand before Jesus and get your reward. You're not going to stand before the white throne of judgment and go to the second death. Wow. So now, Smyrna shows us that a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. I've heard many guys that were in combat say, and they were seasoned, when they got a new guy out there for the first time, they would say, I really don't put him in me. And I asked him why, and he said, because he'll get you killed. Because he's not been tried. He's not combat tried. He's trained, but not combat tried. And when the bullets are flying and the bombs are going, you can't always depend on that man to hang up under the pressure. The same way, people doing EMS, people doing fires, people doing whatever, the police department. The people have never been under that kind of pressure. They can hurt you if they respond to their fear versus their faith. I thank God. Smyrna, God said, don't worry. You're going to respond well. They're coming at you 10 times. But they're not going to take you down. You're going to grow from this. Something good is going to happen from here. And not only are you going to flourish in me, Ephesus was worrying about losing their crown. Smyrna, the crown was solid and secure. And he said, you're going to get this crown, and the second death won't even come close. Wow. DC, come here and play something, buddy. I want everybody to stand. Smyrna, bitter, crushed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be in here right now and your life is bitter. You may be in here right now and your life is crushed. And Satan would love to get you to back off and let you think that as long as you back off, he'll take care of backing off of you. If you back off from God, I'll back off from you. That's a lie. What we got waiting on the other side is worth everything. To know that I will miss the second death is worth everything here. To know there's a victor's crown and rewards waiting is worth everything. I know I've heard people say, well, why don't I have what that person's got? Why don't I have this? And why don't I have that talent? If you needed it, God would have given it to you. If he needed you to use it, he would have given it to you. If you're feeling that pressure, your life is bitter, I'm here to tell you, hold on. Hold on. There are brighter days coming. Jesus told Smyrna that. He also told him, there's going to be 10 times. It may get a little better and then get worse and get better and then get worse, but in the end, you win. He warned him, the battle isn't over after the first time. There's more coming, but don't worry. You win. You step up on the platform. I reward you for your faithfulness. Two words I want you to think of all week long. Fearless and faithful. Fearless and faithful. Fearless and faithful. Fearless and faithful. God, help me to be fearless in my pursuit of you. And God, help me be faithful when I come up against the knocks and the bumps and the attacks. Because I know it's going to be okay in the end. You've given us that promise. But nobody's looking around. Nobody can see you. None of the cameras are on you, nothing. Everything, you can be totally at ease, to be honest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. Would you just say, slip your hand up fast, say, Pastor, I'm in a bitter place right now. I'm in a crushed place right now. And I need you. I need you. Maybe you're here right now, and because you're being in a bad place, a bitter place, a place of crushing. You feel the stone rolling over you. And you feel like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And you almost gave in to the lie. And if I'll just back off and do it my way instead of God's way, or back off and do it Satan's way instead of God's way, things will get better. No, things will actually get worse. So if you're here this morning, you've been in a bitter place, you're in a place of crushing, nobody looking around, but you put that hand up and say, Pastor, I need help holding on. I need help holding on to the promise and look beyond the problem and see the promise. We're going to pray together right now. These churches are so powerful because they don't just speak of the church, they speak of your life. They speak of things you're going through. They're very powerful. Let's pray together, everybody, right now. Father, you see where I am. You're all-knowing. And you can do something to help me because you're all-powerful. I trust you today. The heat is on, but so is grace. And I know that whatever Satan meant for bad, you'll turn it around for good. And I trust you to do that. Help me hold on. Help me to trust you to help me hold on through all of this. And I thank you for a brighter tomorrow. I thank you for the crushing. And I thank you for the bitter, because it drew me closer to you. And now, God, I thank you for the victory that's coming, because I know the victory will be greater than the bitterness and the crushing. In the name of Jesus, I recommit myself to you, and I thank you that you are my Lord and Savior. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now Tuesday night, we're going to start something that I hope starts a good thing.